Today, we're going to talk about why it is so hard for you to remember the things that you read. More often than not, people come to me and they say, you know what? I love reading books and I really feel like I've learned so many things, but I cannot remember what's important. I put the book back on the shelf and then many weeks, months, or even years later, I even buy the same book forgetting I'd read it, only to find that this is knowledge I already have. I've just forgotten it. So today I'm going to give you my four-step framework on how to remember the important things in the books that you read. And we're going to dig into, of course, a book recommendation I think you'll love. All right, let's get philosophical. Welcome to this week's episode of the Read Well podcast. My name is Eddie Hood, and I'm your host, where I believe it's more important to read well than to be well-read. So grab your favorite book, open up your notes, and let's get ready to learn something fascinating. Hey readers, this is Eddie Hood. Welcome back to the Read Well podcast. I'm so grateful that you're here. We've had a great week in the community, and I want to share with you really quickly that our online private reading community, which you are more than welcome to join, is growing. We have over 100 members there now. If you go to thereadwellpodcast.com, up in the navigation, you'll see a button that says community. Simply click on that and you can create a free account and begin having conversations about great books. I do have a paid version there as well. It's only $9 a month. That allows you to access the book club and other live reading challenges that I host if you are so inclined. I also want to thank each of you for taking time out of your busy day to leave a review for the show. This week's review came in from Reading the South. This was on February 19th, a little while back, but they come in slowly. This one says, hooked on this podcast. This is a reading podcast I've been looking for. Love the premise of reading well as opposed to being well read. I've already learned so much on here. I took your advice and put together a reading kit complete with yellow highlighter and a smiley face. Thanks, Eddie. So I love that in our community, we have a kind of a running joke that you really need to always have your yellow highlighter with you. I have a specific note-taking system that I follow in order to really annotate a book. And part of that is anytime I come across a section of a book that I disagree with, that gets highlighted in yellow. So that's what that wonderful reader is referencing, is the fact that we want to be armed with our yellow highlighters. Just because an author wrote it or it's in a book, does not mean you need to agree with it. You are more than welcome to have an engaging conversation with these authors. Well, let's get into today's concept of how to remember what you read. I think this is a really important and sometimes deflating concept. It makes us almost not want to pick up the next book because we're worried, you know, what's the point? What's the reason to spending 10 or 12 hours on this book if I'm not going to remember any of it anyway? And so we get up, we get sort of self-deflated, and then we just maybe do other things. I don't know. And I want to combat that with you. I want you to know and feel like you're not only capable of remembering the things that you read, but that you're going to be able to use them. Because at the Read Well podcast, the mantra that I teach is to read slowly, take notes, and apply the ideas. That's what we're trying to do here. So before we get started, I would love for you to try and just be open to the fact that we're going to need to rewire your brain a little bit. We have all been taught to read fast, to be efficient, to hustle, to get in hundreds of books a year. And I would like to hit pause on that for a minute and ask you to consider what it means to truly learn something. Isn't it better to read one book well this year and to apply it in your life rather than to read 200 books and have nothing to show for it? So with that in mind, I would like to start by sharing a quote from you out of a book called How to Take Smart Notes by Sanka Ahrens. This is a really fantastic book in the note-taking community. If you have been in that space, you'll probably have heard of this book. Sanka wrote this piece in reflection to a gentleman named Niklas Luhmann, who created something called the Zettelkasten, or slipbox in German. Well, Zettelkasten is German for slipbox, if that makes sense. And slipbox, all that is literally a box that sits on your desk full of slips, or 3x5 cards. And on each card is a specific note to a topic you have been studying. Now, today's episode is not about Zettelkastens, although I am thinking about doing an in-depth view of that later on in a future episode. But the message I wanted to share with you from this book says, to have an undistracted brain to think with and a reliable collection of notes to think in is pretty much all we need. Everything else is just clutter. Now, I'd like to read that again for you. To have an undistracted brain to think with and a reliable collection of notes to think in is pretty much all we need. Everything else is just clutter. So that's what we're getting at today. How do we help you and myself as well, because we can all improve, not only have a good, strong brain that can focus and think well when reading, but also a way to collect that information so that it's useful to us down the road. Well, I'm going to share with you my four-step way of remembering what I read. This is very helpful to me, and it starts with a story. A couple days ago, I was at the gym, and a gentleman came up, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And I recognized his face because he is one of the fathers that goes to all of the lacrosse games and practices that I go to. I have a son. He's 9 years old. He plays lacrosse. And this gentleman's son also is on the same team. I recognized him, but I had no idea what his name was. And after we shook hands, he told me his name, which was Austin. And I thought, great, it's good to meet you, Austin. 5 seconds later, I had forgotten his name. So I don't know if you've ever done this, but when you are introduced to somebody, they tell you their name, and then it instantly leaves your head. And I would love for you to think about why that happens. It's a name. It's a simple name, usually one word. It shouldn't be hard for you to remember, but why do you forget? I'd like to submit that you're forgetting that person's name because you are ignoring the very first step in my four-step process of remembering. The first step, and it's going to be an acronym today we're sharing, and the acronym I use is DIRT. So think about going outside and digging up a bunch of dirt. Well, the first letter in DIRT is D, and D stands for decide. And what I mean by that is I would like for you to realize that every time information is presented to you, you are very often not making the decision to remember it. You're not deciding that that information is important. This is the first step to remembering anything, is for you to say, okay, brain, this piece of information is important. I'm going to decide to remember this. Now, when Austin and I were talking for a few minutes, I realized sheepishly that I had forgotten his name, and so I had to ask again. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, remind me of what your name is again. And he smiled and said, my name is Austin. And I said, great, thank you. I still did not decide to remember his name because I was so engaged in the conversation that at the end of it, I was like, oh my goodness, I have forgotten his name again. So now I feel really stupid. And I shamefacedly said, I am so sorry. He laughed and said, Austin, before I could even ask his name again. That moment right there, because I was so embarrassed, I decided I'm never going to forget this name again. And so I took a minute mentally to log it in my brain. And I thought to myself, how can I remember this gentleman's name? Well, it made me think of Austin, Texas, right? Because that's the first association I came up with. And when I was a young man growing up, I played guitar. I played a lot of jazz and blues guitar. And one of my favorite recordings ever was by an artist named Stevie Ray Vaughan. And he did a performance in Austin, Texas. So now what I've done is I've moved into the second stage of remembering something in my acronym. So the next letter in DIRT is I. So first we're going to decide to remember something. I stands for internalize. We're going to make it internally important to ourselves. So what I did is I associated a personal memory, something that meant something to me, to this piece of information so that I wouldn't forget it. Okay? So I've decided to remember Austin's name. I've connected him to one of my favorite musical performances ever in Austin, Texas. I'm never going to forget this guy's name again. Now, this is easy for a name, but what about when you are learning something complex in a book? Some sort of idea that is longer than one word that really requires you to think and focus. Well, that's going to lead us to the third step in the framework. And the third step there is to revisit. I recently experienced the need to revisit something I had learned because I was memorizing a poem. I had learned the poem Invictus, and I am not great at memorizing poetry, but this is something I'd like to get better at. In fact, if you listened to last week's show, it was on the benefit of reading poetry. So over the past week or so, I have been memorizing this poem, and I sat down and I first of all decided to memorize it. I thought, okay, Eddie, this is an important piece of literature that you want to remember. I am now deciding to sit down and actually remember this thing. I did that, and then I tried to internalize it. I made the poem internally significant to me. I thought about each line and how it was important for me as a person and as a father and as a leader in my businesses and how this was going to be useful in my life and why I would want to memorize it. But then after spending an hour or so going over those lines, I knew in my brain that if I didn't come back to this eventually, I would never remember it. It was going to take more than one session to understand this information. So I went to my calendar and I scheduled a time 3 days out and then 7 days out to have the same study session, where I would sit down for 1 hour on both of those days, reread the poem, go over it line by line, and try to ingrain it into my brain and into my heart. Now, the beautiful thing with revisiting the work you've already been in is that it gets easier every time. The first experience I had with that poem was rather challenging. Again, I'm not good at memorizing poetry. But 3 days out, I had the lines in my brain, and I was like, oh, yep, okay, I remember that. I had to adjust a couple little words here and there. But ultimately, I had the poem internalized. And then I went out, and 7 days later, I revisited it because my calendar told me it's time to work on Invictus. And I could recite the poem to myself without the need of referencing the document. I had memorized the poem, but I still wasn't quite there. There wasn't one more step I had to take in order to really ingrain this thing in my memory. And that, of course, is going to take us to step four of my memory system. This is very simple, people. By the way, this shouldn't be complicated. I think a lot of us feel like we need complex note-taking systems, and you know, we need to cross-reference things, and we need to whatever. Not in reality. When we really need to know something, not just be able to remember it, but know it in our hearts, these four steps will get you there. Hey everyone, I want to take just a quick second in the middle of this podcast to tell you about Highlightish.com. Think of highlighting a book, but add ISH at the end. Highlightish.com is the tool that I use to make better book notes and to organize my writing. It's where I go to capture my favorite passages, annotate them, and then to turn that research into essays, blog posts, or research papers. If you're someone that wants to get more out of the books that you love and you want to turn that into great output, go to Highlightish.com today. Thanks for listening, and let's get back to the show. Now, the fourth step in DIRT is T. It stands the letter T, which stands for teachable. So we're going to first decide to memorize something. Then we're going to internalize it, make it personal. Then we're going to revisit it a few times, and then we're going to teach it. Okay? And I think this is the part that all of us skip. Most of us think, I don't need to teach this. That's awkward and weird, and who am I going to teach this stuff to anyway? You know what? It doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to stand up and give a talk on it or a presentation at work. Although, if you can do that, all the better. But if you can simply share it with a friend while you're at dinner or one of your kids or your mother, then you have taught somebody this lesson. So it had been about 2 weeks out after I had memorized this poem, and I decided, okay, it's time to move to step four. I need to teach this to somebody. And so I sat down with my son, who's 17 years old, and I said, you know what? I have just found a poem I think you'll like. It's called Invictus. And of course he thought, oh, that's interesting. Okay. And he said, well, what's it about? And I said, well, I'll tell you the poem. And so I just told it to him word for word. First of all, he was amazed that Dad had memorized a poem. And second of all, he really loved the poem. Because I had it memorized word for word, we were able to go through each line. And instead of having to like reference the paper and say, well, I think this word means this, I was able to just have a conversation with him about what the poem meant. And as I did, we spent probably 30 minutes talking about this poem, and it only sort of settled it into my brain even more. Now, I knew that moment was coming. I knew I was going to have to teach it to somebody because that's part of the system. So as I memorized it and as I studied it, I did so with the eyes and the ears of a teacher, which is very different than learning something with the eyes and the ears of a student. You see, a student is only doing this to get the grade, to pass something off so they can forget it and go on to the next piece of information to pass that off. A teacher doesn't have that luxury. A teacher has to learn something and be able to retain it in their own soul and in their own words so they can reshare it with the world. That is the moment you have truly learned something, when you can teach it to another human being. All right, as usual, I have a book recommendation for you this week, and this one is coming out of left field for me. Kind of, sort of, maybe not really. This book is fantastic, and it's been on the shelves for many, I don't know about many years. I don't know when this was published, but it's not old. And it is a, I suppose you could say, a memoir slash autobiography slash whatever. But this is Matthew McConaughey's Green Lights. Now, you've probably seen this at the airports or in your local bookstore. The reason why I like this is, first of all, I appreciate his sort of approach to life, which is a very laid back, very thoughtful, very introspective way of looking at things. And what I loved about his book here is that it is incredibly fun to read, first of all. Essentially what he did is he kept journals his whole life. And as a little boy, he started writing in these things about all the weird stuff that happened to him. As an actor, he's very imaginative and he's very good with story. And so he's been able to sort of bake these stories into these journals. Well, he decided, you know what, I'm going to put all this together in a book one day. And so he took all of his journals and essentially went out into the desert and lived in this little shack for a certain period of time and did nothing but write. He just got away from all the email and all of the connection from his wife, from his everything, and he put his life onto paper. And more often than not, I would usually skip on books about contemporary people's lives, not because I'm not interested, but because my to-be-read list is already way too big, and so I don't really have a whole lot of time to learn about Matthew McConaughey. I think he's great, but I really want to learn about Marcus Aurelius and all of these other people who have had huge impacts on the world. Not to say that he hasn't, but I think you know what I'm talking about. I picked up this book, and when you open up the cover, what you're going to see are pictures of Matthew at different stages of his life, and they are raw. I mean, they are real, and it's this young man who is trying to wrestle with what it means to be alive. As I read this, I thought, there is an incredible amount of psychology and philosophy in this book, written from the heart and soul of this guy, and he writes it with such an authentic and, like, unembarrassed way. Like, he writes about stuff that most people would just be embarrassed to talk about. He doesn't care. He's telling a good story, and he wants to not only entertain you, but he wants to help you live your life well. Now, the philosophy behind this book, the reason why I'm sharing it, is because I do believe it has a philosophical background. The title is Green Lights, and Matthew McConaughey's philosophy in life is to always look for green lights. What he means by that is that there will be opportunities that are presented to you. And when they are presented, that is a green light. You hit the gas and you go and you make it happen. There are times in life where you've got a yellow light or a red light, and you need to be present of mind enough to slow down or to stop. So I think that's a beautiful way of looking at the day-to-day. Not only that, but transforming your day-to-day into something bigger, something meaningful to you. It is very apparent that Matthew here lives a life that he's definitely trying to live his fullest life, and it is just a great and inspirational story. So I would encourage you to check that out, Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey. Hey, if you found this episode helpful, I want to thank you for listening. And of course, as always, if you have a moment to go to Apple Podcasts and give us a review on how you think I'm doing. If you feel like the information I'm sending your way is useful in any way, I would really appreciate a review of some kind. All you do is you go to Apple Podcasts and then you search for the Read Well Podcast. When that comes up, you'll see our title page with all of the episodes below it. All you got to do is scroll to the bottom and you'll see a place where you can leave a star rating and you can write a little review. So if you think I'm doing a good job, I would appreciate a little bit of help there. That definitely gets the podcast off the ground and gets it into the hands and ears of more readers out there. So again, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget the four-step methodology to remembering what you read. DIRT stands for decide to memorize something. Then you internalize it to make it personal. The third step is to return to it and to study it a few more times. And finally, to teach it to another person so that it really gets ingrained in your mind. All right, that's it for this week, everybody. Thanks again for listening. And as always, remember to read slowly, take notes, and apply the ideas. I'll see you next week. If you'd like to take your reading to the next level, then head on over to our website at thereadwellpodcast.com. There you can get access to my weekly newsletter as well as up-to-date show information. Also, don't forget that I learned software development on the side just so that I could build a program to help us make better book notes as we read. If you're interested, go to highlightish.com. Think of highlighting a book, but add ish, I-S-H, at the end. highlightish.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you on the next show.